Okay, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And we carry on with our study of the Word. And today we're in Galatians chapter 5. Yesterday or the day before, we were able to compare the difference between these two covenants, those that are under the law, those that are under Mount Sinai, and these are the present Jerusalem or the present Jews who are keeping themselves under the law, who want their own human effort to make them righteous, yet no man can be made righteous by keeping of the law. But then there are those who are of the Jerusalem above, that is, are of the children of the promise. And the question is, do you want to be under the law, or do you be under the free woman? You know, do you want to be under the slave woman or under the free woman? And I think the best is to be under the free woman, to be under the law of Christ, the law that sets men at liberty, the law that sets men to be free. In fact, the Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That means we are set free to be free. You know, when the Bible says he that the Son sets free is free indeed, that means there is a position that Christ positions every believer to be free. And you see, the challenge is you can be free and you not know you are free. You know, there's always this people who are set free, but they still live like they're in prison. And that's why Jesus comes to proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, he comes to declare to them that you are free. And this is what the gospel does. It has to take us out of bondage and bring us into the liberty of the sons of God. You are brought into a place of freedom. And this freedom means that you're no longer under slave to the basic elements. You're not under slave to keeping and observing days and customs and religious feasts and ritual laws. You know, all these traditions that the Israelites were doing under the law that they thought would make them righteous. But then there is a curse that comes with the law. And so if you continually keep yourself under the law, then you are called to fulfill the whole of it. And if you cannot fulfill all of it, then already you have failed in all. I mean, if you fail in one commandment, you have failed in all. If you don't keep one of the rituals, you have failed in all. You know, so it's such a big thing to think that you can achieve righteousness on your own human effort. Yet there is one who came, who fulfilled every written requirement of the law. Christ came and fulfilled it, and he became the perfect sacrifice once and for all that God has accepted, and that anyone who comes to God through Christ experiences the same release, experiences the same forgiveness, experiences the same, you know, power that Christ has already worked out for you. And that is the greatest freedom that any man who comes to Christ must understand. And Galatians chapter 5 starts us there when it starts to speak about the liberty that we have in Christ. It says, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. So, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails nothing, but faith working through love." So Paul has been contending with this church and contending, you know, with these false teachers who have been trying to teach the believers, the Gentile believers, that you must be circumcised. For you to be born again, you must keep the whole law of Moses. There's a way you must eat. You can see that even when some of these brothers came, that Peter was also led astray. He started withdrawing himself from eating with the Gentiles. That even Barnabas, who was the companion of Paul, was also led astray. And Paul has to rebuke him publicly and say, you who, though being a Gentile, you know, though being a Jew, live like a Gentile. Why do you condemn the Gentiles to live like Jews, you know? And he has to be condemned publicly because he was affecting other Jews. And so he's telling them, these teachers, you guys, if you want to indeed be circumcised, then just know that Christ profited you nothing. Why? Because the Christ that was preached to them is one who has worked out the liberty for them, one who has fulfilled the law, every requirement of the law. He was, you know, his blood was shed in seven places, every requirement that where he was crucified outside the city gates, you know, he became that scapegoat lamb where every sin was placed upon him. You know, he was crucified, he became a curse. Cursed is anyone that is hung on a tree. He became a curse for each and every one of us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on each and every man. So every fulfillment, every written legality that was required, you know, by the law, is fulfilled in Christ. However, if you miss that, then you go back into bondage. But then you see there is a liberty. When you're called to freedom, it does not now mean that it is now a license to do whatever you want. Freedom in Christ has also its rules and regulations. It has its guidance. It has its limits, you know. So he's telling them that the freedom that we have is where you exercise love. And that's why he says that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. That means as we are being eagerly awaiting for the justification of the Spirit that is by faith, that being made right with God, which is what Christ has done, the hope of righteousness by faith. That means we don't stand righteous on our own effort. Anytime we stand before God's people, anytime we stand to cast out devils, anytime we stand to pray for the sick, we don't come on our own effort or on our own righteousness. But there is a righteousness that is by faith, that we know that we are accepted by God. And that is where faith works through love. Verse 7, he tells them, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you, you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? If I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. That means emasculate themselves even more. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, or have been called to freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So he's telling them that, yes, you are called to freedom. You are called to liberty. But this freedom does not give you an opportunity to use the flesh. It's not an opportunity for you to just satisfy the flesh and do whatever the flesh wants. Just because you are free from the law does not mean that now you are free to just do anything that you want. And that is why later on, as we shall be able to read, he also explains what is this opportunity for the flesh. What is this aspects, the works of the flesh that people are doing and want to do, and they want to still think that they are in freedom to do that. No, he's very clear that even the law establishes one thing: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the golden rule: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself, or do to others as you would have them do to you. That is what the laws and the prophets were summed up. Everything, when you look at the old covenant, it was always whatever you do you to your neighbor, love your neighbor. This is what everyone was taught according to the law. But you see, Christ brought it even higher level. In fact, we call it the extended law, in that he has extended, he goes beyond the law. He says, "For before it was said for you, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But now I say to you, if someone slaps you on the right, offer them the left. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. You know, give good for evil. Where evil has been given to you, give good in equal measure, and by that you pour hot coals over their heads." There is a place where God calls us to do good, even to people who don't deserve. And when we do good, the Bible shows us that we pour hot coals over their heads. Why? Because we are showing them that, you see, we don't respond according to the flesh. Yes, there are times people anger us. Yes, there are times that people make mistakes and people don't even see what they have done. But you see, how do we respond? Do we respond from a place of faith working through love? Do we respond from a place of the Spirit? Do we walk according to the Spirit, or do we walk according to the flesh? Because the flesh is easy. The flesh means just the response to you. Slap me, I will slap you. You know, the flesh is always, you fight me, you speak evil, I will speak evil back. The flesh is always revenge. The flesh always is that evil in us, that nature that wants to be satisfied. That is the flesh. But then there is a secret. There is a way by which we overcome the flesh. And that is why verse 16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That means you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So it's saying, walk in the Spirit. This is critical. It's saying that when you have the mindset, you know, and that's the thing that you must know, that every human being has the life, that means the bodily life, the life in the body. Then you also have the life in your soul, which is in your mind, which is where you reason, where you think, where your higher centers of understanding are. But then it is only believers, Christians, who have the Spirit life, which is the Zoe, the life of God that is given when you are born again, that the life of God comes to make your spirit alive and you receive the nature of God within you. But you see, each of these lives always want to control you. The body, if you leave it, it will control you. And that's why you find there are many people who live from their flesh. They just live from sexual immorality. They live from stealing. They do. And these are the works of the flesh. They want to live from that place, you know. But then there are those who are living from their mind. And you know, each of these levels of life, one is superior to the other in that order. So the mind, the soulish life is superior to the physical life or to the body life. But then the spirit life is superior to the soulish life. And that is why if you understand and if you let yourself, because it is you that has that choice. Yes, you are born again, but until you purpose that your flesh will not control you, until you purpose that you will put to death, and that's why we're told that those that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That means you put those passions and those desires, you put them to death. That's why Paul says, "I beat my body and make it my slave, that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize." That means that it is possible to be disqualified when we allow our flesh to rule us. But when you walk in the Spirit, that means when you're conscious of what the Spirit of God has done, of the spirit life, when you're conscious, when you're aware, when you're sensitive to be led by God, when you know, when it says those that are led by God, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, so this is now what is called being walking in the Spirit. When you are conscious of the Spirit of God, and when you're demonstrating the Spirit life, when you have purpose that you shall live according to the fruit of the Holy Spirit and not according to the gratification of the flesh. Why? Because these two are always in opposition. That means the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And this is something that you must always ask yourself whenever you're responding to something. Is this from the Spirit of God or is this your flesh responding? Because many times we respond from a carnal nature. And when we do that, we hurt people. And we have to recognize that when we are responding from carnality or from the flesh, what happens is that we hurt people, we say things that we should not. Why? Because at that moment, it is the flesh that seeks to be gratified. It is pride that seeks to be gratified. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Anyone that follows the law of Christ will always be above the law of man. You cannot be following the law of Christ and you fall victim to the law of man. No. Why? Because the law of the Spirit is superior to the law of the flesh. That means if you're obedient to Christ, then that means even in the laws of men, you will still be obedient. Why? Because there is that superiority of the law of the Spirit. So if you are led by the Spirit of God, that means if you are guided, if you are walking in the Spirit, if you know that it is the Spirit of God that is leading, guiding, protecting, watching over your life, and that you are obedient and sensitive to be led by the Spirit of God, then you are not under the law of Moses. And then he goes further to now try to tell them what are these works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. That means, I think it's NIV that's put it, the works of the flesh are obvious. That means it is clear for all to see, and which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's I always have a friend who likes to put this part that, read that part where it says, and the like. That means that when it comes to listing the works of the flesh, there are always new discoveries. There are people who will come up with new discoveries of sin. And then you will say, oh, it's not in the Bible. Oh, but the Bible is very clear that the works of the flesh are obvious. And you will know that this is not pleasing to God. This is just gratifying your flesh. And he says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, when you hate someone, contentions, when you're constantly in fights, that is already flesh, because you want to be right and the other person wrong. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath or fits of anger, NIV I think puts it, fits of anger, where you just always, for you anger is so easy. Selfish ambitions, dissension, selfish ambition is where you're just focusing on yourself above everyone else. It's you at any cost, make it at whatever the cost, where they say it's the end that justifies the means. You find people speaking like that. And then drunkenness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, revelries. These are parties, wild parties. And the Bible says, and the like. So all this cannot be exhausted. The list is not exhaustible. But you know things like this. And when you are by the Spirit, you will know this is not of God. This is of God. Because the Spirit within you will bear witness. Unless, of course, you have seared your conscience. You have burnt it until it is not feeling anything. You see, when people that are used to holding hot pots, or hot sufurias when they are cooking. Their fingers and their nerves are seared. That means they can hold something so hot and not feel pain. But that is how some people have seared their hearts, that even when they are in sin, deep sin, they will not even feel it. They will not have any conviction. And the Bible says, I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why Paul clearly said, don't be deceived. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. It will not. It cannot. You want to serve God, you'll have to lay down the flesh aside. You have to crucify it. And you have to live by the fruit. And that's why it says, by the fruit of the Spirit. And I love the way it says, it's not even fruits. It says the fruit. That means it is one composite fruit that has the revelation. It has the unveiling of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against such there is no law. That means that anyone that is living by the demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit, that means we will see love from you. We will see joy from you. We will see peace from you. We will see long suffering. That means you can be patient with people. We will see kindness. We will see your goodness. We will see your faithfulness. We will see your gentleness. We will see your self-control. These are those who are walking according to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. They're being led by the Spirit. They're being filled by the Spirit. They're living from their spirit life. That means the Spirit of God within them, which is the candle of the Lord, God is speaking to their consciences, and they are sensitive and they are conscious of God. When you're conscious of God, then living by the flesh is very hard. Why? Because you're conscious that you don't want to disappoint your Father. That even when you sense something is amiss, then you are careful to quickly repent. You're careful to quickly ask God, what is it that I am missing? Why? Because you need His Spirit. You need to be in tune with Him. And the Bible says, against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you're alive in the Spirit, if you're conscious of the Holy Spirit within you, alive in you, that you are born again, that you are born of the Spirit, then also walk in the Spirit. And the Bible says, let us not become conceited, that is proud, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul gives us the answer to the flesh. The cure to the flesh is walking in the Spirit, crucifixion of it. You have to put it to death. And crucifixion is not easy. It's a painful process. But when you bring it to Christ, Christ is able to deal with you and to deal with it and to set you free. And you will no longer be a prisoner to the flesh. You know, anyone that is a prisoner is an addict. But when Christ has set you free, indeed it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'll stop here, and I pray that God gives us more insight into this. Brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Mane. It's quite very clear. We just pray for the grace of God to help us overcome the weaknesses of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy to walk in the Spirit and to kill the flesh. It's a painful process and requires commitment, consistency, and the will within ourselves to do so.
Mm.
It's a struggle, and we just pray for the grace of God, because we live in a fallen world, but we are not of the fallen world. Mm. We are Christ. And it's something that we should always remember, that no matter what surrounds us, we are above and beyond that,
mm,
as Christians. And that should not be an excuse. It should not be anything to impact on our spiritual lives. I think I'll leave it at that for now, but it's good to know, and it's good to reflect on some of the things that we take for granted.
Mm.
Mainly when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes, even self-control, as I was saying, self-control, it's not only in the desires of sex or desires or urge of being ambitious or what, but even simple things like appetite. Self-control in its totality is something that we need to seek for. You know, can you say no to what the body is asking for at the particular moment? I think that's also it's one of the things I was looking at. I said, okay, there's some things that I still struggle with, but I pray that God gives me the grace to overcome.
Yeah, true. You know, at times we always think of the fruits of the Spirit, and you say, no, I have this one, I have this one, I don't have this one. But then when you are challenged, you see it is fruits. And then you say, there's still a long way to go. That is when we need the grace of God. And yeah, for sure, may God help us that every time we are conscious of the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. That means we are conscious, we live in the Spirit, and we are constantly reminded of who we are and what Christ has done. And that makes the difference. Yeah, thank you for those additions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word of truth that has come this morning, that indeed you've called us to walk in the Spirit. And indeed, when we do so, we shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. Thank you. That faith is working through love in our hearts, that indeed when we are following the laws of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are manifesting in our lives, indeed we are above the law and we have crucified the flesh. Thank you. Give us that grace to do it, O God, that indeed we shall be faithful witnesses. We shall be faithful in every aspect of our lives, and even constantly keep checking, are we according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. I pray for grace. I pray for forgiveness where we have failed. I pray even for in our own relationships, O God, with our loved ones, with all those that we work with and in other places, O God. Give us this Spirit. Give us this fruit of the Spirit. May we cultivate it in our lives, O God, that we may live according to the pattern and promises that you have called us to, O God. I worship your holy name. I adore you and I give you glory. May your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.